World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, thanks for joining us here this morning. It is, what, the 8th day, 4-8-2026. Thanks for joining us. Man, I get up every morning. I think most of you know my alarm goes off at 5:30 a.m. And, you know, I have a ritual. I sit down and, you know, pray and do research and everything. And I try to come here every day with really, really fresh information. And I try to really try to be unbiased, and the information I would hope that at the end of the day, you don't really know what my theology is, because to be honest with you, I don't really know what it is. And, you know, you could get me around a bunch of dispensationalists, and at the end of the time I'd be with them, I'd be a dispensationalist. And you could get me around some preterists, and at the end of the day, I'd be a preterist. And you see, some of you don't even know what the heck that means. But again, the theme here at Coach Dave Live is, who told you that, and why do you believe it? Why do you believe it? And I don't know of anybody, I said before the show went live, I don't know of anybody, I'm sure they're out there. I don't know of anybody who does what we do here. Take what's going on in the world and talk about what the Bible says about it and what we're supposed to do. And one of the things I said before, again, before we went live, is we got this idea in Christianity that things are only going to get worse and Jesus comes and we win. Can somebody explain that to me, how that is victory? That's called taking your ball and going home. That's the way I see it. Jesus told us to go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, what's the end of the age? What does that even mean? So I get frustrated. I get frustrated because I keep seeing that we're losing a war we ought to be winning. That's just kind of my perspective. Before I go any further, two things. That Linda Tibbs' grandson is having oral surgery here today, William. And I want to do a little bit of prayer vigil here, if we could. Somebody get ready to say a prayer. And Michelle and I are a little bit tense this morning because our granddaughter, Emery, throw that up there if you would, Spence. She is even right now ready to undergo surgery at Children's Hospital in Columbus. Are you ready for this one? She got some lead pencil stuck up inside her nostril. And it's as crazy as that sounds, doesn't seem like that'd be a very big deal, right? But it's causing some types of chemical reaction in her. So she's like, even right now, she's going under. She's going to be under for, on top of her. My wife said on top of her nose, whatever, on top of her nose, inside, okay? And so they've got to put her under and go in and get that thing out. And so we're a little bit of pins and needles. It's never easy when somebody goes under, right? So who said, Coach, I'll pray for Emery and I'll pray for William. Somebody out there want to step up and do that for us here? Come on, don't be shy.
I got it, Coach.
Good, Ray. Thank you, Ray.
Father,
William and Emery.
William and Emery, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know, your word says that the children are precious in your sight. And
amen.
It's such a fragile thing, our body sometimes, when we go undergo these types of situations. So we just pray, Lord God, that everything will come out as planned, and that the doctor's expertise, Lord God, and your hand would be upon them as they remove that lead off of Emily and William, as he's also undergoing the medical treatments that he needs, Lord God, to cure him of whatever it is that ails him, Lord God. We just thank you that you're the great physician and we can come before your throne and ask these things, Lord God. You even said in your word that this is the proper process that we should take, because even King Ahaz, it says he had diseased in his feet and he sought all the physicians. He went after all the doctors, but he never sought the Lord. So we seek you, Lord, first and foremost. And we know that you are the great physician, and we just lay it all at your feet and thank you that you are a miracle worker and that you will work on these behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ray. Yeah. Thank you, Ray. Healing is the children's bread. What? Healing is the children's bread. See, miracle healings shouldn't be rare. It shouldn't be rare. Shouldn't be rare. Boy, I got a lot of stuff to get into today. Anybody have anything for the good of the group? First, hang on. I said that and then I'll do this. I had the honor of sitting in last night for Rob Pugh at Wisconsin Christian News. I think I put it up. Can I find it up there, Spencer? Do you see it? And I just want to, this folks, this was really good last night. And I want to thank all of you who on short notice tuned in because we did something a little bit different last night. We turned Wisconsin Christian News into Coach Dave Live. And you guys in there, we had a give and take. And see, I love give and takes rather than one guy talking to us the whole time. And so this is really, it's really good, really good. And again, I don't know what to say to you folks. You guys, God, did I say that, Lord? Stuart needs our financial help. Stuart needs our financial help. And, you know, he hasn't been pardoned yet. He's one of the few that hasn't been pardoned. And he doesn't have his military retirement. They aren't even giving him his military retirement. And he was a founder of Oath Keepers. None of the stuff they accused him of did he do. None of it. And if you didn't get a chance to see that interview last night, you ought to do it. It's really, really pretty good. And I would also say anybody out there that's got a show, Adam, listening to you, we got to get the words out about what they did to Stuart and help him to get his pardon so he can get his life back together. We're talking about a Ivy League trained attorney. Lost his law license. it's amazing. And see, it's one thing for us to say, be filled and be warm, brother. God bless you, Stuart. God bless you, Stuart. We got to bring some pressure, whether it be to the President of the United States, whatever. This man is a Christian hero. You understand that? He's a Christian hero. 2 years, a year in solitary. Amazing. I didn't, you know, shame on me asking. What does he say? Six children? It's six children. Paul, is that what he said last night? I had no idea. Six children. They locked him up. It's reprehensible. So I would encourage all of you, put it in the chat, to go ahead and watch that, because it was really, really, a really, really good interview. And David Arthur, I'm going to do another one next week. I'm going to have you on. So we'll get that worked on, right? I want edgy stuff. I want edgy stuff. Christianity, we're in a crucible. We're in an edgy period, man. Edgy period. Come on in real quick, Adam, and then I'm going to jump into some stuff here.
I was just going to say, Coach, give him my information. I'd love to have him on the podcast.
Yep, we'll get him on. We got to get the word out. See, folks, listen. if we don't counter the narrative of J6, that's what's going to go down in history. In fact, I would bet this. Most of the people that you come in contact with probably believe that was an armed insurrection and everybody arrested deserved it. Would you guys agree with me? That's probably pretty much where we are. And they don't have any idea what happened. They have no idea. Stuart Rhodes and Oath Keepers had spent their entire existence going around and being defense for the government, standing up and providing security at events. And they went to provide security at this event as well. What's the interview? Okay. What's the interview? And then, let me jump right in here. I got so much good stuff I want to get out of here today. Amen. Anybody want to come in? No. Okay. Pardon me while I cough. Pull up if you would for me. Number four. I'm sorry, David Arthur, come on in. In fact, I just gave you the wrong thing. I want, Spencer, I got to click on this here. I want you to pull up David Arthur to school board. Pull that up there for me. That's a standalone email I sent you. Come on in, David, and tell us explain this before we start. Go ahead. What was
so? I've avoided this school board meeting for quite a few years now, and I think I did it because it was in my. It's in my backyard. It's literally my backyard. And you know what? It's time for us to come out of our comfort zones. You know, if I can go down to Southern Maine or to Bangor and drop bombs, I can do it right here in my own hood. And so I went in there last night and dropped a grenade and then walked out. And
what was their reaction, David? What was their reaction?
So they were stuck because I ended it with, are there any questions? And literally the chair, he was sitting there like this. And then he shook his head and he kind of got it. Thank you. But because you see the pause after I say, are there any questions? So he says, thank you. They were all just like.
Okay, folks, David, this is on me. Let me hit this real quick. The Bible says this, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, your own life gets cleansed. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Friends, if the Lord has delivered you from anything, you better be talking about it. You get what I just said? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I was blind and now I see.
Amen.
Now,
Coach,
it's not
going to
be comfortable. It ain't going to be comfortable because they have the devil, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, call him whatever you want to, has so invaded the mind of the average American that they cannot think straight. They cannot think straight. Nobody in their right mind, nobody in their right mind would think that a transgender person ought to be in front of children in public schools. Nobody in their right mind would ever believe that, except the Lord sends a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And so everybody believes you're born that way, yada, yada, yada. And the last thing they want is David Arthur standing up and saying, that's a lie. I was blind and now I see, and you can be healed too. Rather than the validation of evil. We are the worst in the validation of evil. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I'm going to show this. It's only about 3 minutes. David gets 3 minutes at the school board. You get 3 minutes at the school board. You can go. You can speak up, right? We need to put those school board. I'm talking to me. We need to put those school board members on edge, on notice. That we ain't putting up with this crap anymore. That's what we need to do. Go ahead, David.
Well, Coach, I did just get word, too, from a former rep that they did pass the Title IX, the first portion of it, at the school board last night after I left. It did pass. And so now there's one more step, and I'll be present for that too. But I just wanted to touch on what you were talking about a testimony. That was the very first thing I ever recognized when I was still laying on my deathbed in 2009, when I was reading the word. That's what I realized, that Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. And I'm like, how do we do that? Well, the bait is what? Our testimony. We catch them. He cleans them. We catch them.
You love not your
testimony.
Own life. Yes. You love not your own life, meaning this, even though you're shamed, you share it.
Amen. Amen. Right? Thank you.
And if you're worried about your pride and people thinking about you and knowing you and you got delivered from, if your pride is holding you back, dude, somebody's missing deliverance that only you can bring.
Coach, I got websites dedicated to smearing me and smashing me and I mean, adding on to all of my criminal past. Trust me, you better not worry about what people think or feel.
They're doing everything they can to drag you.
Thoughts and feelings do not matter.
They have to discredit you.
Amen.
They have to discredit you, right? So David's at the school board meeting last night wearing his ex-trans shirt. Probably aren't very many people there, but he drops
probably about two dozen.
Two dozen people. Hmm? Go ahead and play this.
I stand before you, a man who never had a childhood. Trans ideology destroyed that. My life was stolen by the lie of transgenderism. The movement that calls itself inclusive and loving targeted me, desensitized me, groomed me, and sexualized me as a child. Molested by two teachers. One was a part-time guidance counselor that told me I was a pretty girl. Age 13, I overdosed on pills. Age 14, I ran away from home, was sex trafficked by the trans queer movement who loved me only to victimize me. I contracted HIV/AIDS at 14. began to destroy my body with wrong sex hormones. I was the suicidal trans kid, always tossed into these debates when someone's trying to push this agenda. I sincerely believed I was a girl trapped in a boy body, lived as a trans woman for over 20 years. Everyone around me thought I was happy, being my true self. Inside, I was confused, broken, and depressed because transition and affirmation does not take away suicidal ideation or depression. It only makes it worse. Suicidal ideation is emotional blackmail. Wrong sex hormones left me sterile with osteoporosis, heart issues, and mental health complications by age 30. They ravaged my mind and my body. They caused irreversible damage. I was a ticking time bomb because of the path trans ideology put me on. By the grace of God, I've been healed of much, but some scars remain. I watch in horror as schools destroy children, secret social transitions, affirmation without therapy, exposure to explicit ideas to sexualize young minds, and the promise that hormones and surgery can fix what's inside, maiming the body for a head issue. This is not compassion for children. This is dangerous. This confuses and destroys, leaving broken souls in its wake. Schools are not equipped to play doctor with children's bodies and futures. Behind the back name changes and policies that hide truth from parents are not care. They are betrayal. And I beg you, protect these babies the way no one protected me. Say no to grooming, to the trans activist teachers, and put truth first. Put parents first. These children are only regurgitating the propaganda and lies that they've been force-fed by the trans queer activists. Do not let another generation of broken, confused children be led down the same road of destruction as I was. I know this cult inside and out. And I know this, any man that defends or pushes the trans queer agenda is suspect of targeting and preying on children. God bless you all. Are there any questions?
Wow. David, they didn't say anything?
No, no questions. There usually never are at school board meetings, but yeah. One of the things I learned from a former legislator here in Maine was, at the end of everything you say, are there any questions? Because that shows everybody around you that if they don't have any questions, then there's something wrong.
You're a living, breathing, walking former tranny, and they don't know what the hell to do with that, do they, David?
They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And so my criminal past helps them to keep their distance from
me. Yeah, he's a criminal.
It's
he's just
a perfect criminal. Example.
Hey, folks, I'm an unconvicted felon. This guy right here is an unconvicted felon. I did a lot of stuff I should never have done before I found the Lord. And see, we don't even realize the power of salvation, do we? We don't even understand it, right? So, Paul, real quickly, kind of up your alley, although not up your alley, how the hell can the medical association support the mutilation of young children? How does that work?
You know, I've asked myself that too, but there are just some evil people in medicine. And if you give them the license to do these things, they jump right in, Coach. Mm. I mean, doctors are not, they don't give an ethical test before they become doctors. Look at the type of people that want that control, Coach.
And money, control and money, right? Control and money.
Yeah. Makes me sick, Coach.
Makes me sick. Me too. Amen. Well, Dave, hey, David, folks, David needs some financial support. You say, well, yeah, but we helped him before and he fell back. Hey, you ever fall back? Ever fall back? He is a nuclear weapon. He's a nuclear weapon. And I would say those of you out there who can get him on other radio shows, podcasts. We have got to counter this lie that he was born that way, born in the wrong body. And David's one who could say, yeah, I was, but I got born again. Get it, folks? As we look, this and the interview last night with Stuart Rhodes, I don't know, again, it's worth watching. Do you know that our American government is doing everything they can to destroy Oath Keepers? They couldn't give a damn about Stuart Rhodes, but they don't want Oath Keepers. Same thing with Enrique Tarrio, Proud Boys. Those were godly men fighting an ungodly system. And who do they lock up and throw in jail? Enrique Tarrio and Stuart Rhodes, head of Oath Keepers and Proud Boys. If we can't see the war that's going on, hang on. You ready? Will your pastor have David Arthur in? Hell no. Hell no. No, he'd rather everybody believe what the public schools are telling him, right? So that's what we were talking about before the show went. Why, you got to get some skin in the game, man. Bible says you're going to be hated of all men. You're going to be hated of all men. Who? Matthew chapter 5. They don't believe me, Spencer. Throw it up there. Matthew chapter 5 and all the love, Jesus' love. Matthew chapter 5. Huh? Keep going. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to, blessed are they, rejoice, you salt of the earth, salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing, cast out you the light of the world, a city set on a hill, maybe I've already missed it. How many of the men put light on, they let your light so shine before men, see your good work, think about it, come destroy law, then come to, anyway, it's up the top maybe. You shall be hated of all men, Christians. Huh? Oh yeah. You might find out for me, shall be hated of, there it is, yeah. You've heard say, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy neighbor. I say, love your enemies. Curse them. Good. Maybe it's not Matthew 5. Come on then, Ray LeBlanc.
Yeah, just another plug for David Arthur. You know, you're on the sex offender list, right, David? So, you know, you try to get a job doing that, you know, with that stigma all
try
over.
Try to find
you.
A place to live. Try to find a place to live.
I know. I dealt with somebody here in town. They said, no, he can't live there. That's within a mile of a school. You can't do this. You can't do that.
Meanwhile, Ray, they let teachers in there. They promote transgenderism.
I know. But, yeah, just a plug to support him if you can. He's going to travel down here to Wisconsin next month to two or three events. And, you know, all the way from Maine to here. And he just needs the help to cover those kind of expenses. Amen. But his message is so powerful and needed. So just,
shall be hated of all men for my name's sake.
Amen. Yeah.
Right. Hated, not loved. No, they ain't going to love the message, boys and girls. They're not going to love it. Now, I'm going to say this again. I've committed you guys to pay Stuart Rhodes rent for the next few months. I've committed you guys to do that. I sent him $1,000. Sent him $1,000. $800 rent. I've committed to do that for Stuart for the next several months. So I'm counting on you. And I've committed to money to David Arthur for the next several months to help him get to where he's trying to go. And go ahead and give it to your church. Go ahead. Go ahead and give it to him. Get new sound system. Blacktop your parking lot. Get smoke machines. All right. Boy, I get in trouble. I start talking about money. All right, cool. Anything else? Anybody else? Mary Beth, come on in, then Jack. I got some great stuff to show you. Go ahead.
Listen, we all need money to live. So when you talk about money, the people that have any gripe about that, then they should, you know, like not get money for their rent or whatever. That's BS.
Hey, Mary
That's
Beth, if they BS, can't trust okay? me, if they can't trust me with dollars, what are they doing coming in here every day?
Yeah. And, you know, Joyce Meyer said that one time. And it's like, we all need money to live. And so this is what you do. And so you people out there right now that are thinking that, anyway, that wasn't what I was going to say. I was going to say, you know what, David, that is a legit reason for someone to marry. A person to marry someone who lives with their mother, because you can't find a place to live. Because once you become a felon, you know, by the grace of God, my grandson is not a felon, by the grace of God alone. And, you know, you can't own a firearm. You're marked for the rest of your life. That is just BS.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
That's hey, ready? That's a curse of legalism. It's in the church too, boys and girls. You better believe that. The church doesn't believe in forgiveness either. Oh, no. They whisper behind David Arthur's back that he was a child molester. Never leaves you, does it, David? Never, ever. Everybody else can hide their sin. They can hide theirs.
Coach, I saw a movie once where the guy and the woman, you know, they were like the naturalist hippie kind of parents. and they would bathe with their children. Well, somebody completely destroyed their life in the movie. You know what? But what goes around comes around.
How about this one? How about this one? Huh? They make David Arthur register as a sex offender while they're poisoning the minds of kids every day in the government schools, teaching doctrines of demons to kids in government schools, and he has to register for something he did in the past. Huh? What? Corruption of a minor? Pull that up there real quick, Spencer. Say, what are you talking about? And just Google in there, corruption of a minor. It's a crime. Corruption of a minor. Corruption of a minor is a criminal offense in which an adult, 18 or older, engages in conduct that corrupts or tends to corrupt the morals of a person under the age of 18. It's a friggin' crime. It's often used to prosecute actions that violate community standards of decency, including sexual acts, enabling drug, alcohol use, or encouraging criminal activity. You can't even give a kid an aspirin at school without the parents' permission.
Boom.
Every one of those teachers and administrators that are promoting transgenderism, that is, my friends, a crime. It's corruption of a minor. Anybody want to argue that? Come on, Jack.
Let's turn the words on them, Coach. It's hate speech. They should be charged with hate speech. And if we pushed that, they would back down.
They would. That's good. That's right. That's it. That's it. David, come on in. I'm going to move on here in a minute, folks.
Sorry, I didn't even know my hand was up. Okay. I can piggyback off what you said and say that every time somebody says that to me, but you're a registered sex offender. Yep. I'm like, well, so what? What about all the unregistered sex offenders
that's right,
sitting
brother.
In the classrooms or sitting in the library reading to babies? Come on. Yeah.
How about the teachers standing in the classroom teaching their children about transsexualism? Yep. How about that one?
That's sexualizing them. It desensitizes them so that they can sexualize them. And then what comes next? Victimizing them.
Yeah. It's tolerance and diversity, right? Hey, folks. Hey, you looking at me? The Holy Spirit ain't tolerant. He ain't tolerant. Sorry. Come on in, Adam.
Yeah, we could also call them groomers and pedophiles themselves, right. Because they're the ones who are going after their children.
That's right. Hey, by the way, your children, I'm going to say it again, they're teaching this crap to your children. They are grooming your children in something that's a crime. Somebody, you think that's not a crime? Think it's not a crime? It's Pennsylvania. An adult engages in the course of conduct in violation of sexual offense laws that corrupts a minor. Knowingly aiding, encouraging. An adult commits an act that corrupts a minor's morals. Really? So, parents, if you find out that your child is learning about transgenderism in school, you ought to file a lawsuit. They're corrupting him right there. Craig Mickle.
Hey, Spencer, you pull up Saving God's Children. So it's not just the school. The devil's in a hyperactive mode, all right?
What's the kids?
Right. So, okay, it's information. Okay, they get information at school. Maybe it's even affirmed there. That's the even probably the worst part. Can you go down to where it says 764? Go into recent posts there. All right. Scroll down or awareness and training. It will come up. If you scroll down, Spencer, 764. This is a demonic group. Okay. Go a little bit further up there, Spencer. A little bit further up. See where it says 764?
Click on that.
Yeah, click on that thing. Okay. So this is some deranged kids that were like the boys in Columbine. And they created this online group. It's a satanic group, okay? And they would get, what they would do is reach out, groom kids, have them to have sex with their younger kids, post it on the dark web. They have them cut for girls, cut their names in there and stuff like that. So they're getting this information on their phones and their access to their tablets. So if you're not watching what's going on, talking to your kids, being involved in this, okay, they're getting this information as well as they are in school, probably more to the effect of transgenderism and pornography and all that stuff. So use the resource tools that we put on there. Watch this film, 764, and see what happens is going on right in the bedroom of your kids and your grandkids.
Oh, Craig. Okay, Craig, you're the next guy's going. When I do Rob Pugh, you're the next guy in line. Remind me of that, okay? We got to do that. We got to do this. Got to do this. Cool. Anybody else? I got some stuff I want to get into here. Can I do that? Where do you want me to start here, Lord? Pull up number 7. John Rich, recording artist, John Rich. That's not it. That's him. Hang on. What's the theme here at Coach Dave Live? Who told you that?
Who told you that? Why do you believe it?
Why do you believe it? John Rich, a recording, country, western recording guy. Go ahead.
Does the Bible really say that?
God loves everybody. It does not say that anywhere in the Bible that God loves everybody. Matter of fact, when you go to Proverbs 6, it says, "These things doth the Lord," all caps, "hate." And the first thing it lists is those whose feet are swift to shed innocent blood. He hates them. Well, but the Bible says we're supposed to pray for our enemies. And it does say that.
Oh, yeah.
It says pray for your enemies, not pray for God's enemies. Don't pray for pedophiles. You go to war against those people. Americans want a Jesus made in their image, not actually who he actually was, because who he actually was and is and what he told us to do are very difficult things that put you in compromised positions every single day.
Does the Bible...
Wow. Huh? Wow. Ooh. They'll throw you out of church. You start talking like that, Glenn. They won't let you up. They ain't going to let you anywhere near. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. Pull up number 3. Pull up number 3. This is a good one, too. I find this stuff all the time. Go ahead.
The world's gone to hell, that it's gotten so violent. But the world never got violent. There is no God. The world has been violent since the beginning. Cain killed Abel. Cain killed Abel, the third person on the planet, killed the fourth person on the planet. We weren't even able to make it to 3 people before somebody was a murderer. At one time, a third of the people on the planet were murderers, right? A third of the people in the hood aren't murderers. A third of the people who own guns aren't murderers. A third of the people in jail aren't even murderers, right? San Quentin, Alcatraz, Folsom Prison are safer than the book of Genesis. You thought Compton and Baghdad were tough? Try downtown Eden when the sun goes down. There was murder and violence at person 3. One couple had 2 boys who had the world to themselves, and one of them was claiming this town ain't big enough for the 2 of us, right? Cain killed 25% of the world's population. That's more than Stalin, Hitler, Idi Amin, Pol Pot, King Herod, Genghis Khan, Manifest Destiny, typhoid, cancer, AIDS, cooties, all combined. Cain killed a third of the people he knew. He knew 3 people. He killed one of them. If you knew Cain, you had a 66 2/3% chance of survival. There's no such thing as the good old days. There was like 1 good day. It was half a day. Adam and Eve were naked, alone, in an oasis. Lunchtime came. People got hungry. Apples were eaten. Boom. Detroit. People think.
That's classic, isn't it? Isn't that the truth, huh? Oh, my. The lies that religion has taught us, right? God hates all workers of iniquity. He hates them. What? Yeah. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, I don't have it up here. What are 6 things the Lord hates? I think it's in Proverbs. See if he can find that for us here, folks. So I'm not going to listen to that Coach Dave. He preaches hate. Really? Really? 6 things that the Lord hates. Okay, let's see. There was. These 6 things does the Lord love? No. Is offended by? No. Hey, Spence, real quick. Hang on. Google hate. Go to Epstein. Oh, not Epstein. whatever. What's hate? What's hate? To dislike greatly, to have a great aversion to. In Scripture, it signifies to love less. If any man come to me and hate not father and mother. Great dislike or aversion, hatred. So there are what? Go pull the other one back. Six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. What is it? Proud look. Lying tongue. Your tongue's connected to your brain. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That'd be those teachers in kindergarten trying to figure out how to make your child accept homosexuality. Devises wicked imaginations. And feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that causes arguments in the church. That's why we have 42,000 denominations. I could start the world's biggest fight right here, right now. I start talking about end times, rapture, dispensationalism, preterism. We'd be at each other's throats right now. You know I'm telling you the truth. Where am I? This is good. Let me pull up pump number 10. Then I'm going to shut up, let you all get in here. I'm just showing you some good stuff I've come about over the last 24 hours. Dr. Ken Hovind. You guys know him, right? Oh, I could tell you a story about Dr. Ken Hovind. Go ahead.
I thought they were perfectly legitimate. So I sent him 30 questions. I thought they were perfectly legitimate, fair questions. I said,
hang on,
a woodpecker,
hang on, stop. Let me hang on. Let me set the background. He's talking about, he was having a debate with some atheists. And he said, send me a bunch of questions. Send me, right? Send them here. So go ahead and start again.
So I sent him 30 questions. I thought they were perfectly legitimate, fair questions. I said, a woodpecker's tongue goes all the way around the back of his head and comes on top of his left eyebrow, left nostril here. Would you please show me any fossils that have been found, intermediate species, between a normal bird and a woodpecker, you know, with his tongue going all the way around his head? What evidence do you have of how this evolved? That question never came up. I don't know what happened to it. I said, termites chew on wood and they swallow it, but termites can't digest it. It goes into their stomach and there's little tiny critters in their intestines that actually digest the cellulose. Now, those little critters can't live without the termite, and those termites can't live without those critters. Which one evolved first? I thought it was a fair question, but it never came up. I don't know what happened. I think they lost my list. But anyway, one of my favorite things to do is asking questions to people who believe in evolution. So I asked this professor if I could ask him some questions about the Big Bang. He said, sure, what would you like to know? I said, well, sir, you told me 20 billion years ago, all the matter in the universe was squished in this little tiny dot, and it was spinning faster and faster and exploded. I said, where did all this matter come from? He said, well, we don't know that for sure. I said, okay, now, sir, hold it. If I told you that I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth, like the Bible teaches, you're going to say, and where did God come from? And I don't know. But you said 20 billion years ago, there was a Big Bang, and you don't know where the dirt came from. So basically, I believe in the beginning God, and you believe in the beginning dirt. Don't tell me my theory is religious and yours is science. Oh, no, sir, they're both religious. So I said,
amen. Come on in, Jack. God, the lies we've let him teach to our kids.
Hate is an emotion. Hate is a useful emotion, God-given emotion.
That's right.
We got to be blooming careful when you make an emotion illegal.
God hates, doesn't he, Jack?
Yes, but they can also say that love or compassion is illegal. If they can make hate illegal, they can make anything illegal. We better be careful of the words we use.
So understand this. Ken Hovind went to jail. Ken Hovind went to jail. We got him out. That's a whole nother story. We went down there, Pensacola, Florida. We raised hell. We got Ken Hovind out of jail. I'll tell you that story at some point. But the reality of it is, see, the wicked, evil, man-made, secular, whatever you call them, they cannot permit there to be a God. You better understand that. You better understand that. They threw Kent Hovind in jail. They came up with some crappy thing about money. It doesn't matter. Locked him up for said he was stealing money.
Extortion.
No, it wasn't extortion. It's called, it doesn't matter. They got to throw the good guys in jail. Come on now. They're throwing criminals in jail. They're throwing the good guys in jail. You see it? Stuart Rhodes in jail, Ken Hovind in jail, Bill Dunphy in jail. It's a pattern over and over and over. Why? Because we don't understand that we're under a Luciferian system. And the church is perfectly happy not getting involved. And so they'll sit around and say, well, Stuart Rhodes, pastors will say, Stuart Rhodes must have deserved it. He must have deserved it. The government wouldn't lock him up. No, it wasn't embezzling. It wasn't all that. There was a term they had. And the term they used, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's called the RICO law.
It's not even that. Kent Hovind has been in my house. I know Kent Hovind. I know Dr. Kent. We went down. I won't tell that story today. We went down there. We picketed. We sat outside that courthouse, outside the jail, and we got him. Oh, what a story that is, man. What a story. Craig, come on in.
Well, I think we're switching into a different dispensation age, if you will, from going away from this evolution. There was no God. Okay, because we're able to see how things are put together, okay? And it's almost mathematically impossible that this is randomness, that all these things came in from randomness. So now we're a new age, Coach, okay? Which God are you going to serve? Okay, and this is where panspermia, this is why Disclosure, this is why Steven Spielberg's film's coming out this June, okay? You're getting ready into, okay, it's not that we just evolved, it's which God are you going to serve, and which God are you going to attribute creation to? And that's where that is where we're at right now.
That is where we are. That is where we are, baby. And can I say it? Of course I can. I say it all the time. Our Christian leadership, for the most part, don't get it. We don't get it. And our Christian leadership says what? We don't mix religion and politics. We're strictly religion here.
Right? You have to ask this question. Okay, why is that rocket called Artemis? Just ask it. You know, when you name something, it has meaning to it. That's why the Bible is very prolific. You know, when someone was given a name, it meant something. Isaac was laughter, right? Because Sarah laughed, right? So, you know, it trajectory that his life to a certain degree, it resembled it. Let's put it to you that way. And that's just a
okay. Question. So buckle up here, buckle up. Trust but verify. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Did we go to the moon? Did we ever go to the moon? But by the way, the people who told you we went to the moon were the same people who told you to take a jab. It was the same people, wasn't it? I think it was. And we're supposed to believe, I'm sorry, back in 1968, no cell phones, no internet. President Nixon spoke live on a telephone to the guys on the moon. Come on. I can't even keep a signal over the hill here. Right? How'd they do that? Okay, so I want you to see this here. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know. I know this. We'll believe whatever the media tells us. Pull up number four. Pull up number four. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. I'm being as honest as I can be. I don't know if we went to the moon. I don't know if we ever went to the moon. I really don't know. Go ahead, play it.
Here's a little bit of Pam Bondi news update. I don't know if you guys know this or not.
No, that's not what I want. It's my fault. It doesn't matter. Pull up 4C. And then we'll shut up and let y'all come in. 4C. That's what I want to see. Proof. Hang on. Stay there. Proof the Artemis moon mission was staged. Go ahead and play it.
Oh look, Artemis II is finally headed to the moon, humanity's next giant leap. They've installed a state-of-the-art zipline so the astronauts can gracefully bail out of the rocket right before it pretends to go to space. Then the whole thing just flies straight up, does a majestic little flip, and belly flops into the ocean like a good little government contractor. Beautiful. Really convincing. And of course, they scheduled the first moon mission since 1969 on April 1st. Because nothing says, this is totally real, like launching on April Fool's Day. Here's how it actually works. Rocket goes up, astronauts zip off like it's a Six Flags ride, and the empty tin can splashes down while we all pretend we're watching history. That's why you never saw the crew on the live stream. Just some budget CGI of a rocket flying into absolutely nowhere. No cockpit cam. No astronauts waving from inside. Not even a quick shot of them climbing in beforehand. Nothing. But hey, back in 1969, Richard Nixon could apparently pick up a landline and casually chat with guys on the moon, no problem. Crystal clear connection, zero lag. Yet in 2026, we can't manage a single live shot from inside the capsule? Sure, totally makes sense. Nothing suspicious here at all. Move along, citizen. The moon is very real, and we definitely went there. Trust. Oh, look, Artemis II is.
So look, here's what I do. I don't think we went to the moon, and I tell people that. And then they call you a kook and all that. The government wouldn't lie to us, would they? They wouldn't lie to us. No, they wouldn't do that. Kevin, come on in.
Ken Hovind was incarcerated for structuring.
Structuring, thank you. Structuring.
And he also had some problems with the beloved Internal Revenue Service and taxes.
Yep. Structuring. Here's what Ken Hovind got arrested for. He would go. He'd tell the story. He ran Dinosaur Adventureland down in Florida, and he would go on every Monday, every Friday, and he'd pull out $10,000 or something like that for the expenses. He'd pay a lot of stuff in cash for his expenses, and then he would go back and he would do it the next week, pull out $10,000 more, and blah 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 blah. And that's what drug dealers do. And so the courts charged him with structuring. That's the truth. Pulling out money that the government didn't know where it was going, like he was a drug dealer. Structuring. That's what they did to him. The 4D, pour it up. 4D. I got 12 minutes left. Somebody come in and read me. Okay, you ready for this one? There it is. No. Go back to that devil one. That's one I meant. Sorry. This is so Babylonian B. You got to love it. Go ahead.
Did God really say that? Maybe not. Hi, I'm Satan. And I've advised kings, religious leaders, multi-platinum recording artists, and I've made countless millions rich, powerful, and happy. I even helped build a huge tower that almost touched the sky until some jerk came along and confused all the languages. That was frustrating. No muy bueno. But I've never done anything like this until now. I'll teach you how to love yourself. I'll teach you how to follow your heart. I'll teach you how to find your own truth. You'll learn everything you need to know about politics. Politics is your only hope. Marriage. The main purpose of marriage is to make you happy. Parenting. Children are born good. Religion. All religions are equally valid. And success. You only live once. Everything you need to live your best life everything you need to be free of all the things that hold you back. I have one rule in my class, and that rule is this. There are no rules. There are no standards. There is no target. There is no truth. Listen to me. Learn from me. You can be like God. I'm Satan, and this is my masterclass.
Oh my goodness. Very good. Hey, let me throw this up here real quick because some people have been asking me. Great Awakening. Holy guys, are you guys aware of this movie? Are you aware of this movie that's out there? And Michelle and I haven't seen it yet, although we're going to. And this is something else that we need to do because we need to support Christian movies. And so The Great Awakening is in the movie theaters now. And it's about our Christian heritage, Christian legacy. Go ahead and play this real quickly.
An awakening happens when you've been dead or asleep to something that the light touches, ultimately setting you free. There's a point in our American history that we don't talk about a whole lot, and that's the 30 years that led up to the revolution. There was a revelation before the revolution, and that was George Whitefield and the Great Awakening. My mind was blown when I learned that 85% of the colonists at that time didn't just hear about George Whitefield, but they actually heard his voice. That's incredible. You know, we're talking the 13 colonies having their first shared experience during this Great Awakening. He was the most famous person in the colonies. Talk about a character to sink your teeth into and roll up your sleeves on. This guy came from very rough beginnings, but the thing that George Whitefield had, which was a gift from God, was this supernatural voice.
Oh, what would he do had he the motive and the cue for passion that I have?
And he realized this voice that he had wasn't meant to just entertain people, but it was meant to change the world. And he became a very charismatic evangelist.
I will not be a velvet-mouthed preacher.
Do not be deceived! How many of our congregations are dead because they have dead men preaching to them?
The Anglican Church kicked him out of that church, and he said, fine, I'll do it on my own. And he went to places the Anglican Church wouldn't go. He went to the coal mines. He went to the women. He went to the slaves. England, Scotland, Ireland. And eventually he came here to the United States.
Arriving from England, the Reverend George Whitefield.
Everywhere he went, it was just this massive revival. And it's because he knew what it was like to be in the dark. The Lord liberated him and set him free. And he just couldn't keep that quiet. So he just gave it everything he had. Everything he had.
Do you want to know this, Jesus?
Yes.
So do I.
And then I learned that his best friend was none other than Ben Franklin. That's when I think I might have fell off my chair. The oddest couple you could imagine.
Mr. Franklin.
Reverend Whitefield?
Each of them saw something mutually beneficial in the other. Whitefield seeing in Franklin a means of disseminating the message, and Franklin was only all too happy to oblige.
A match made in heaven, or just a deal made in a print shop?
But I think it grew beyond that into a genuine respect.
There's something about Whitefield that Franklin has never seen in any other clergy. He finds, okay, this man's not a hypocrite. He found him to be a really honest person. That's why they could have contentious conversations and still be friends. They were like brothers.
Their relationship is made all the more interesting in light of the fact that, belief-wise, they weren't on the same page.
Why can't I get through to you?
I choose evidence over faith, and I would greatly appreciate it if you would stop trying to change me.
And neither one was going to budge.
Ben Franklin was the greatest promoter of the Great Awakening. He took all of George Whitefield's sermons and distributed them throughout the United States and went ahead of him and said, he's coming to this town, he's coming to that town. He was fueling this incredible move of God on this country.
Here he is, a self-proclaimed deist, working with George Whitefield, printing his sermons all over the colonies. So he was spreading the gospel.
The United States is about to celebrate its 250th anniversary. And what both times in history are desperate for is just clear, simple truth. Just illuminate truth for me. George Whitefield was the tip of that spear during this great awakening. And it awakened the hearts of men and women, and it changed the world, literally.
Therefore, let us not be asleep, but awake, because we belong to...
And I think it's time to put George Whitefield back on the pulpit.
I think something that occurred to me as we were telling this story is that these people that lived in this time didn't know that a great awakening of this magnitude was possible. And I think everyone that believes in the gospel hopes for another great awakening, but I think somewhere in the back of our minds we go, yeah, but it couldn't really happen. That was 300 years ago. That could never happen today. But why not? The truth of the gospel is eternal. It hasn't gone anywhere. God hasn't changed. Why couldn't it happen today? Why not now? Why not now?
Playing, excuse me, playing at a movie theater near you. It'd be worth going to see, supporting. We have to support these kind of movies if they're going to open up the gates and make more of them, right? Linda Suter said she saw great cast, great scripture, everything about it, great. Great awakening. Dale, quickly, got a couple minutes.
Dale, this is history. In, yeah, I'm there sorry. This is history. Coach, this is so important. You know, I was talking with Flip the other day. He was telling me about go see this movie. He goes, it begins the Revolutionary War. I said, yes. I said, because you got to have a revelation before you have a revolution. Oh, and that's exactly what happened. And guess what's happening, Coach? People are being awakened. There is a revolution that is coming, not of spear and of sword, but of the word of God, brother. And it is going to refresh, believing that this is going to refresh not only this nation, but the world. Amen, brother. Let's talk after the show.
Amen. Amen. So here's questions I get ready to leave here this morning. Here's a question. I learned it as a young high school football player. Somebody said to me, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. So here we are in this dystopian world that we find ourselves in. Do we think God can move? Do we think revival can happen? Do we really think things are just going to get worse and worse and worse, and that the devil's going to come and take over? And then they're going to take all of us out of here, and then we'll call that victory. Because the Lord's Prayer said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, not in heaven, not in heaven. Thy will be done on earth. And if you think that we can expand the gospel, or if you think we can't, you're right. And most of Christianity sees the end of times as a victory, when the way that we are approaching it now, it's a defeat. Things got so bad that God had to rescue his people out of it, because the power of God and the power of the gospel wasn't strong enough to overcome the darkness. That's the way I read end time theology. See you tomorrow.